The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up on the accessibility, all one word, .com, I'm sorry, that is A-C-E-S-S, capital A-B-I-L-I-T-Y, officer.com. Free live event, the industry needs blind testers. Here's how to get hired, ask me anything. Public event by Accessibility Officer. Online on Zoom.us, what to expect. Last week at CSUN, Tanner and the team sat down with blind professionals, agencies, and decision makers in digital accessibility. The biggest takeaway? Companies need blind accessibility testers, but there aren't enough of them. That's why we're hosting this live AMA. If you've ever been shut out by bad design or struggled with inaccessible websites, you know the barriers firsthand. Now let's turn that experience into expertise so you can get certified, get hired, and get paid to make the web better. The event was on Friday, March 21st, but they have had six of these, and I'm sure that there will be more coming. So please go to accessibilityofficer.com to learn more. From the NOPBC Facebook group via Emily Willingham's post. Just over a month ago on February 16, I wrote a post about how the current administration had used language around disabled people that clearly signaled an intention to pressure people with disabilities out of public life and possibly out of life, period. The EO that post addressed described people with disabilities as, quote, a dire threat to the American people and our way of life, unquote. I wrote that they are trying to convince you that disability is a threat to our way of life. The current administration has just rescinded several pieces of guidance on ADA. Among the rescinded guidance is how this now deleted page for those in the hospitality industry, advising them on best practices for customers with disabilities. There's a website, archive.ada.gov, accesscust.pdf, and this guidance on serving people with disabilities at self-service gas stations, also now deleted. That is archive.ada.gov/gasserv.htm. And this guidance on maintaining accessibility in a retail establishment, deleted in just the last few days, as this capture was from March 14. That is archive.ada.gov/business/retail_access.htm. Much of the guidance being withdrawn is from far previous administrations. Yet this Mad Libs of a press release blames them on Biden and claims that somehow these actions are going to deliver, quote, emergency price relief for American families, end quote. Although how cutting out people with disabilities from American life achieves that for American families is unclear. Quote, the Justice Department today announced that it is taking action in response to President Trump's presidential memorandum, delivering emergency price relief for American families and defeating the cost of living crisis. First, the department is withdrawing 11 pieces of guidance to streamline Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, compliance resources for American businesses. Next, the department is raising awareness about tax incentives for businesses related to their compliance with the ADA. The January 20th presidential memorandum described the regulatory demands put in place by the prior administration and called on the heads of all executive departments and agencies to take appropriate actions to lower the cost of living throughout the country. Today's withdrawal of 11 pieces of unnecessary and outdated guidance will aid businesses in complying with the ADA by eliminating unnecessary review and focusing only on current ADA guidance. Avoiding confusion and reducing the time spent understanding compliance may allow businesses to deliver price relief to consumers, end quote. I'm 100% certain that consumers, which includes those of us with disabilities by the expletive way, will feel 1 cent of price relief from these actions. Note that they did not just archive this guidance. They deleted it. It's scrubbed. All the links I've included here are from the Internet Archive, which needs your donations. There's another website from theguardian.com/US-news/2025/MAR/19/justice-department-disability-business-guidelines. From ACB.org, American Council of the Blind hosts 2025 DC Leadership Conference to advocate for key issues affecting people who are blind or have low vision. Dateline Alexandria, Virginia, March 19. This week, the American Council of the Blind, ACB, hosted nearly 200 members at its annual DC Leadership Conference, where attendees participated in educational sessions, engaged with keynote speakers from the disability community, and met with members of Congress on Capitol Hill. The conference focused on advancing key legislative priorities to promote independence and improve the quality of life for people who are blind or have low vision. ACB and its membership call on Congress to, bullet points, support and pass the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act to ensure that home-use medical devices with digital interfaces are accessible to individuals who are blind or have low vision. Support and pass the Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act to create enforcement standards that clearly state websites, applications, and online services must be accessible to people with disabilities. Update existing requirements for accessible media, video user interfaces, and video conferencing services in the Communications, Video, and Technology Accessibility Act. These legislative priorities are essential to ensuring that people who are blind or have low vision can fully participate in all aspects of life, said ACB Executive Director Scott Thornhill. ACB and its members are calling on Congress to take action and create a more inclusive society for all. The conference also featured dynamic keynote presentations and panel discussions with leaders from the disability rights community and government. These sessions highlighted the ongoing challenges and opportunities in expanding accessibility and equal access. ACB's 2025 DC Leadership Conference was made possible by the generous support of its sponsors and supporters, including Waymo LLC, National Impact Sponsor, Uber Technologies Incorporated, Presidential Sponsor, National Association of Broadcasters and DOT Inc., Congressional Sponsors, ZooX, Open Doors Resort, Open Doors Organization, and Vispero, Beltway sponsors. Relman Colfax, PLLC, supporter. ACB remains committed to working with lawmakers, industry leaders, and the broader disability community to create a more accessible and inclusive future. About the American Council of the Blind. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, is a national member-driven organization representing Americans who are blind and visually impaired. For more than 60 years, ACB has become a leader in national, state, local, and even international advocacy efforts. With 65 affiliates, ACB strives to increase independence, security, equality of opportunity, and to improve the quality of life for all people who are blind or have low vision. For more information, visit www.acb.org. From NFB.org, National Federation of the Blind comments on reduction in force at Department of Education, Office of Civil Rights, urges administration to reconsider action. Dateline Baltimore, Maryland, March 12. The National Federation of the Blind, which advances the lives of its members and all blind people in the United States, issued the following statement regarding the announcement of a dramatic reduction in force at the United States Department of Education, specifically its Office of Civil Rights. Mark Riccobono, president of the National Federation of the Blind, said the National Federation of the Blind is gravely concerned about the devastating reductions in force affecting the Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, OCR, and the closing of many of its field offices, since OCR is responsible for protecting the rights of blind and disabled students at all educational levels. Thousands of blind students and their families are left without any assurance of how their rights will be protected. We stand ready to work with policymakers to improve our education education system, but we vigorously oppose actions that undermine the safeguards that have opened doors for generations of blind students. We urge Secretary McMahon and the administration to reconsider dismantling OCR and to collaborate with the blind and others with disabilities to ensure that continuity is maintained for the protections and services on which so many blind students rely. There is a paragraph about the National Federation of the Blind, and contact Stephanie Cascone, Cascone, Director of Communications, National Federation of the Blind, 410-659-9314, extension 2244. Alternate phone number 443-934-0666. Email scascone at nfb.org. From fightingblindness.org, Luxa reports vision improvements in clinical trial of its RPE stem cell therapy for dry AMD. Luxa, L-U-X-A, biotechnology, reported encouraging results for 6 patients with dry age-related macular degeneration, AMD, receiving a low dose, 50,000 cells, of RPESC-RPE-4W, its proprietary retinal pigment epithelial stem cell therapy, in a phase 1/2A clinical trial. Thanks to these results, the company has begun dosing patients with a higher dose of 150,000 cells. The 3 patients with worse vision in the clinical trial responded best to Luxa's emerging RPE stem cell treatment. Their average best corrected visual acuity, BCVA, was approximately 32 letters, slightly better than 20/20/50, upon enrollment at 12 months after receiving RPESC-RPE-4W. Their vision improved on an average of 21.67 letters to about 20/80. The 3 patients with better vision had an average BCVA of approximately 52 letters, slightly better than 20/100, upon enrollment. At 3 months after receiving the gene, their BCVA improved 3.3 letters to about 20/80. No serious adverse events were reported for the 6 patients. Luxa's collaborators for the trial included the clinical team at the University of Michigan Kellogg Eye Center, the manufacturing team at the Cedars-Sinai Biomanufacturing Center, EMES Corporation, that's E-M-M-E-S, the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, and the National Institutes of Health and the National Eye Institute. RPE cells provide critical support functions, including nutrition and waste management, for the photoreceptor cells that initiate vision in the retina. In macular conditions such as AMD, the dysfunction and degeneration of RPE cells leads to loss of photoreceptor cells and central vision that can progress to legal blindness. Sally Temple, Ph.D., and Jeff Stern, Ph.D., M.D., scientific co-founders of Luxa and the Neural Stem Cell Institute, NSCI, said that the RPESC-RPE-4W cell product used in the trial consists of progenitor stage cells obtained after 4 weeks of differentiation, not mature RPE cells. The decision to use progenitor stage cells reflected years of study in the NSCI research labs that demonstrated progenitor cells derived from the adult human RPESC are more effective at rescuing vision in animal models than fully mature RPE cells. The RPESC-RPE-4W cell product is derived from adult human RPESC that haven't quite become mature RPE cells, but whose fate is determined to produce RPE. These committed progenitor cells destined to produce RPE progeny show no evidence of unwanted cell growth or tumor formation. The RPESC-RPE-4W cells used in the Luxa trial were obtained from donated eyes deposited in eye banks. Cells obtained within 36 hours of the donor's passing are expanded to manufacture cell banks that are frozen for subsequent transplantation. From news.cornell.edu, we have AI Ring tracks spelled words in American Sign Language by Louis DiPietro, Cornell Ann S. Bowers, College of Computing and Information Science, Dateline March 17th. A Cornell-led research team has developed an artificial intelligence-powered ring equipped with microsonar technology that continuously and in real time track fingerspelling in American Sign Language, ASL. In its current form, Spell Ring could be used to enter text into computers or smartphones via fingerspelling, which is used in ASL to spell out words without corresponding signs, such as proper nouns, names, and technical terms. With further development, the device, believed to be the first of its kind, could revolutionize ASL translation by continuously tracking entire signed words and sentences. Many other technologies that recognize fingerspelling in ASL have not been adopted by the deaf and hard of hearing community because the hardware is bulky and impractical, said Hyunchul Lim, that's Hyunchul Lim, a doctoral student in the field of information science. We sought to develop a single ring to capture all of the subtle and complex finger movement in ASL. Lim is lead author of Spell Ring, Recognizing Continuous Fingerspelling in American Sign Language Using a Ring, which will be presented at the Association of Computing Machinery's Conference on Human Factors in Computing Systems, CHI, April 26 to May 1 in Yokohama, Japan. Developed by Lim and researchers in the Smart Computer Interfaces for Future Interactions Sci-Fi Lab in the Cornell Ann S. Bowers College of Computing and Information Science, Spell Ring is worn on the thumb and equipped with a microphone and speaker. Together, they send and receive inaudible sound waves that track the wearer's hand and finger movements, while a mini gyroscope tracks the hand's motion. These components are housed inside a 3D printed ring and casing no bigger than a standard U.S. quarter. A proprietary deep learning algorithm then processes the sonar images and predicts the ASL fingerspelled letters in real time, and with similar accuracy as many existing systems that require more hardware. Developers evaluated Spell Ring with 20 experienced and novice ASL signers, having them naturally and continuously fingerspell a total of more than 20,000 words of varying lengths. Spell Ring's accuracy rate was between 82% and 92%, depending on the difficulty of words. There's always a gap between the technical community who develop tools and the target community who use them, said Xing Zhang, that's Chengzhang, assistant professor of information science, Cornell Bowers, CIS, and a paper co-author. We've bridged some of that gap. We designed Spell Ring for target users who evaluated it. Training an AI system to recognize 26 hand shapes associated with each letter of the alphabet, particularly since signers naturally tweak the form of a particular letter for efficiency, speed, and flow, was far from straightforward, researchers said. The variation between letters can be significant, says Zhang, who directs the sci-fi lab. It's hard to capture that. Spell Ring builds off a previous iteration from the sci-fi lab called Ring of Pose and represents the latest in an ongoing line of sonar-equipped smart devices from the lab. Researchers have previously developed gadgets to interpret hand poses in virtual reality, the upper body in 3D, silent speech recognition, and gaze and facial expressions, among several others. While large language models are front and center in the news, machine learning is making it possible to sense the world in new and unexpected ways, as this project and others in the lab are demonstrating, said co-author François Guimbretier, that's Guimbretier. Professor of Information Science, Cornell Bauer, CIS. This paves the way to more diverse and inclusive access to computational resources. I wanted to help ensure that we took every possible measure to do right by the ASL community, said co-author Jane Liu, that's spelled L-U, a doctoral student in the field of linguistics whose research focuses on ASL. Fingerspelling, while nuanced and challenging to track from a technical perspective, comprises but a fraction of ASL and is not representative of ASL as a language. We still have a long way to go in developing comparable devices for a full ASL recognition, but it's an exciting step in the right direction. LIMS' future work will include integrating the microsonar system into eyeglasses to capture upper body movements and facial expressions for a more comprehensive ASL translation system. Deaf and hard of hearing people use more than their hands for ASL. They use facial expressions, upper body movements, and head gestures, said Lim, who completed basic and intermediate ASL courses at Cornell as part of his bell ring research. ASL is a very complicated, complex visual language. Other co-authors are Nam Ong Dong, 27, Dylan Lee, 25, Tianhong Catherine Yu, a doctoral student in the field of information science, Franklin Mingzhe Li, a doctoral student in the Human-Computer Interaction Institute at Carnegie Mellon University, Yiki Jin, 25, Yan Ma, a doctoral student in the field of computer science at Stony Brook University, and Zhongzhong Bi, a associate professor of computer science at Stony Brook University. This research was funded by the National Science Foundation. Author Louis DiPietro is a writer for the Cornell and S. Bowers College of Computing and Information Science. Posted in the NOPBC Facebook group by Carla Kearns, K-E-I-R-N-S, on the 20th. As of this morning, National Braille Press and BP.org has five more free subscriptions for their monthly print Braille Book Club for kids under 10 who are Braille readers or whose parent is a Braille reader. They no longer have it on their website, but Larry McNeely says to email him directly to ask and explain whether you or your child are the Braille reader and the age of the child. Email lmcneilly at nbp.org. First come, first serve. And the site that is no longer accessible, because I tried, is NBP-Promoting Braille Literacy, Braille Books, Braille Publications, Princeton Braillists, Tactile Maps. From good.is, 3D printing is helping blind students feel art, history, and other school subjects. It's a bit of a sense of joy when you can see a child really grasp a concept. Article by Eric, E-R-I-K, Barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S, posted March 4th. Being a student who's blind makes learning a bit different compared to their sighted peers. Most artwork is experienced through audio descriptions. An animal's appearance is often imagined than known, and the phrase bird's eye view means very little when reading a map. However, 3D printing is literally putting more knowledge at the fingertips of blind and low-vision students at the South Australia School for Vision Impaired. Through the work of models 3D printed by researchers at University of Sydney and Monash University, the visually impaired students are able to receive a more enhanced learning experience to better understand certain subjects on par with sighted students. We've had a lot of those wonderful aha moments where people who've not been able to understand a concept from a description, once they're handed the 3D model, all of a sudden they understand, said Monash University's Dr. Leona Holloway to the Australian Broadcasting Company. I was talking to someone who doesn't use maps at all because they don't understand what a bird's eye view is, whereas if you can provide that map in three dimensions, it makes sense. Sign up for the Daily Good. Get our free newsletter delivered to your inbox. 3D printing has had a great impact on helping blind students learn. By touching a 3D model of a blowfish, they can better understand how it looks when it's fully blown up and spiky versus when it is deflated and unthreatened. They could even see the iconic smile of the Mona Lisa painting by finger-glancing a raised smile, among other details, in the 3D printed version of it. While 3D printing for visually impaired students is new, using tactile methods for educating the blind isn't. However, models used in the past were commonly handmade by teachers, making them extremely limited in quantity and varied in quality throughout different schools and settings. With 3D prints, more effective models can be made in less time and at the same standard of quality with the press of a button. Since these new models are made quickly, cheaply, and with guidance from blind participants and educators, there is now less reliance on raised drawings of these concepts. For example, the raised line drawing of a building. It's difficult to understand tactilely because it's using concepts like perspective and occlusion, said Dr. Holloway. For a blind person, that's not the way they interpret the world, whereas a 3D model is a lot more easy to understand. While 3D printing has become a great method in educating the visually impaired about the world around them, there are several other applications that 3D printing is contributing to help improve the world in big and small ways. Parents have found 3D printing to become a more affordable hobby that allows them to make fun toys for their kids. Members of the National Science Foundation are experimenting ways to create delicious foods and desserts using 3D printers in the hopes of creating convenient, processed, yet nutrient-dense food. One of the biggest contributions that 3D printing could innovate, organ transplants. Researchers at Harvard University have experimented on bioprinting organs since 2019 and showing promising results so far. If proven viable, this could help millions of people who need a new bladder, kidney, or lung transplant in the future, along with creating hope for 3D printing other organs too. It will be interesting to see how 3D printing impacts not just the lives of the blind, but the lives of all people in coming years. From youthlaw.org, lawsuit challenges Department of Education's abdication of responsibility in processing civil rights investigations. Dateline Washington. The National Center for Youth Law, NCYL, filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of students and families across the country that seeks to reverse the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights, OCR, recent decision to effectively stop investigating civil rights complaints. Failing to investigate civil rights complaints is a betrayal of students and families across the country, all of whom deserve justice, said Jacques Belway, NCYL, executive director. To abandon thousands of claims while our schools are seeing increased bullying, harassment, and discrimination not only goes against the very mission of the Department of Education, it sends a chilling message that schools don't need to foster an environment in which every student is safe and welcome. This only undermines student safety while emboldening those who may not have students' best interests in heart. The lawsuit was filed in federal district court in Washington, D.C. on behalf of two parents who have pending claims with the OCR, as well as the Council of Parent Attorneys and Advocates, COPAA. It asks the judge to order the OCR to continue conducting civil rights investigations as required by law, and for OCR to provide periodic updates to the court about its efforts to process and investigate civil rights complaints. Secretary McMahon and the department must be held accountable for harmful actions taken to obstruct families' access to OCR's complaint investigation process, stated COPAA's legal director and co-counsel, Celine Almazan, A-L-M-A-Z-A-N. It is intolerable that the administration has taken actions against a backdrop of unveiled hostility towards students of color and LGBTQI plus students, including those whose race and gender intersect with disability. The lawsuit details how OCR is perverting its core function of supporting all students who face discrimination and or harassment by pausing investigations into discrimination on the basis of race and sex and intersectional discrimination, incapacitating OCR by gutting its staff, and obstructing families' access to OCR's complaint and investigation process. The suit comes in the same week Secretary McMahon laid off hundreds of OCR staff and provided no information or apparent plan for how student and family rights will be protected. There's more, but I ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 919-832-5138.